LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to GamertagRadio.com or PodFest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 712. This is your host, Danny, and we have finally the whole crew up in here. Welcome back, Paris.
Hey, I'm back. I'm enhanced. I'm not trolling in the chat room anymore because I'm not camping or doing other stuff anymore. I'm happy to be back because, oh my God, the October 27th gaming apocalypse has happened, and I have so much to talk about.
Definitely. And also, Pete is in the house.
I, too, am coming to you very enhanced this morning thanks to my coffee, but there's other reasons why I'm enhanced this morning. We'll talk more about that in the show later today.
So the res is high res, right?
Oh man. Super res. All the Ks.
Awesome, man. Yeah, head over to GamertagRadio.com, and you can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to share it. And if you ever get the chance, also, if you're listening to us through iTunes, just review us over there. Help us out big time.
Can I give a shout out real quick before we go into the show?
Yeah, definitely.
Shout out to Mallory and the crew over there at Discord, because we're fully integrated into Discord now, doing the podcast, video, audio, everything. And Skype can kiss my tuchus. I never have to use it again. So thank you, Discord.
Hilarious. All right, so let's talk about what happened on Friday, man. Three games came out, and it was amazing. All three of them, Wolfenstein 2, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Super Mario Odyssey. Let's talk about this, man. Let's go for it.
Where do
Paris,
we start?
You haven't been here for a while, Pete. Oh, Paris, so Pete, you could chill.
Go. Wow. Yeah. After last week, I think I should do some talking instead of you, Pete, because you were a little enhanced. Okay, no, all on the real. Like I said, October 27th, this was the game in apocalypse, because you had legitimately three game of the year contenders come out with Assassin's Creed Origins, Wolfenstein 2, and Super Mario Odyssey. I say we start with Assassin's Creed Origins, personally. Got to play that earlier in the week. Ubisoft, thanks to them, sent us early review code for that. I've been playing the PC version, and it's been breathtaking, man. It's been amazing that they've taken the Assassin's Creed game that started 10 years ago, and they've now completely flipped it into a vast open world RPG. That's the best way I can describe this. I jokingly call this The Witcher 4, because this is the first game this generation that makes me second guess wanting to go play The Witcher 3, because that's how good Assassin's Creed Origins has been. And I'm probably, if I'm lucky, I'm probably about 10 to 12 hours into this game, and I've barely scratched the surface. There's just so much to do. The side quest missions that I've been doing, I've barely even tackled any of the main mission stuff. And I just, like I said, I love the RPG elements that they've added to it. I love the new combat system that they've put into it. I feel like I have a little more variety than that. And it's not just about doing the quote unquote assassin missions anymore. Like, I feel like I'm a part of ancient Egypt. I feel like I'm getting a history lesson from this game. And it's just gorgeous to look at. It's fun to play. And I don't even know what else to say, because this isn't a full review. I mean, we'll see as the story goes and I get further into it. But I'm just absolutely loving what I'm playing. You guys know me. I love The Witcher 3. And if I'm giving it that comparison, yes, it's that good. It is that good that I can compare it to The Witcher 3 right now. And this will easily be a 100-plus-hour game for me. I can tell already.
I mean, what can I say about Assassin's Creed Origin that, A, hasn't already been said, A, by Paris and by, you know, others, whether it be, you know, large media, major media, but you've seen the responses on Twitter and social media. It's, and obviously we've played this, you know, a handful of times already between E3 and, you know, all the way coming up to its release this past Friday. But man, let me tell you, Bayek and Senu, those are homies for life right there. I've been a fan of Assassin's Creed and the series as a whole. Yes, it's had a couple of ups and downs and some slips and so forth. I obviously think the time off was well served for the franchise as a whole. I think it was setting some franchise fatigue. But like Paris says, if there's going to be a game that pulls people away from the GOAT known as Witcher 3, this game has a really, really good chance of doing it. It's, and me, because I have this fascination with ancient Egypt as it is, and then having the opportunity to play and interact with a time period that is so, you know, that is so integral to the growing up of this whole planet, right? That's one of the biggest environments, you know, from a mythological, from a spiritual, philosophical, technological, as well. You know, that age itself is just amazing. So I super dig it. I'm loving it so far. I'd probably say I probably have about 7 or 8 hours on there. I know me and Parrish streamed a little bit of it a couple of days ago. But yeah, man, this isn't a full review, but if this is a sign of things to come, pick it up.
Yeah, like I love that I've been doing more of the side quests than continuing like rushing the story, because man, you have to grind in order for you to be in a pretty good level, and then you could continue some of those missions that it could be really difficult if you're in the lower, like still lower level. So I've been doing that a lot. I mean, yeah, there was little bugs here and there, but it's nothing like it will mess up the whole gaming experience. It was just minor stuff. But overall, I love it, man. I love the music. I love the acting. The voice acting is top notch on this too, man. Really, really good. And I know the voice actors, they were from, is it from the UK? I believe so. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm loving it, man. I honestly, one of my favorite Assassin's Creed games so far, man. As of right now. Love it big time, man. What are your thoughts about, you know, them adding, you know, microtransactions and all that stuff? I mean, there was a lot of people talked about that. To me, it doesn't really, I don't care much about it, because it's not one of those things that, like, they're forcing you to actually buy these items in order for you to level up quicker. But what are your opinion about that?
It's what you just said. I never feel forced into having to use a microtransaction to progress in the game. And, you know, I typically just ignore that stuff. It's unfortunately a necessary evil in today's gaming industry that you're going to have these loot boxes and microtransactions and those type of things. But as long as they stay cosmetic and they're never used to force you to advance in the game, they're basically just something for people that want to quickly get something and not have to grind for it, like you were talking about, I'm fine with it. I love to grind, so it doesn't bother me at all, you know. And like I said, it's just a part of gaming today.
I mean, take your time. Like, I love discovering these places, like new regions and stuff, and there's always like little caves and stuff around the different places you're walking around. I've been using a lot, I've been riding the horse a lot instead of the camel. But it's cool. I just love it, the whole thing, man. So I know, Pete, you talked about a lot this on Twitter. You were posting a lot of like these images, like, could you be playing this on 4K? So how's the 4K experience?
I'm not playing it on 4K. I've actually been playing on a 1440.
I am
the one in 4K.
I am the one that's played it in 4K. I almost said something I was saying on private chat, but on the podcast. I was enhanced.
Yeah. But I've been playing it in 1440, and it looks amazing. The whatever engine that Ubisoft is using for the game, it's unreal. It looks spectacular. Just the overall feel and just vibe from playing the game, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. It's just surreal the way people, animals, the environment react to different situations. I mean, you go in, if you're carrying a torch and you go into a cave, the cobwebs burn. It's the little nuances like that that I love it. You know, I've been playing at 1440 with G-Sync on, and I've got a 144 hertz monitor, so it's I've had zero issues from a graphical perspective. I mean, it's been buttery smooth. And I don't know. I know Paris just got his new 1080i or 1080 Ti. So I can imagine whatever he's playing on has got to look insane compared to 1440. You're essentially doubling up on the pixels, but.
Oh, sorry. Paris.
Paris' response, because I put it out there that he's on the 1080 Ti.
Paris,
why you put my business all out there? No, on the real, no, I was going to talk about this in a second. Anyways, I just picked up a 1080 Ti a couple days ago, and oh my god, playing Assassin's Creed Origins, I'm 4K, everything maxed out, ultra settings. I mean, I want to say I haven't dipped under 80 frames on that, playing it that way, and yeah, it's been fine. I play on a 4K monitor. It's only a 60 hertz monitor. I don't have G-Sync or any of that cool stuff, but it's been buttery smooth and just gorgeous game. And yeah, I posted a few screenshots on Twitter of it in 4K, and it's literally breathtaking. Like I said, I love the fact that this is a truly open world of ancient Egypt, and you just look out into the horizon, you see the pyramids, and you see just the landscape, and you're like, oh my god, I can go anywhere that I see on this map, and yeah, it's amazing.
One thing I mentioned to the guys that I noticed that you could tell the difference, because I've been playing this a lot during the past events and all that, and every time I play it was always 4K. So now that I have the Xbox One S and I'm playing that version, you could tell the difference, dude. You could tell the difference big, but it still looks great for for that console still, you know. Yeah. So I'm wondering how it's gonna look once it's officially updated, like on a PlayStation 4 Pro and also Xbox One X. That's the thing that I'm very, very curious, because it looks beautiful now. So I can imagine with those consoles, you know. I mean, it's not gonna look better than the PC version, but I'm very curious about that. All right, so let's talk about my favorite series right now that I'm watching, Star Trek Discovery. Star Trek, one of the most iconic and influential global television franchise, returns 50 years after its first premiere with Star Trek Discovery. The CBS All Access original series features a new ship, new characters, and new missions while embracing the mythology and hope for the future that inspired a generation of dreamers and doers. Star Trek Discovery is available exclusively on CBS All Access. CBS All Access subscribers can watch the epic journey unfold every Sunday night across many different devices. You could watch it on Android device, iOS devices, and if you have a console, Xbox One. GTR listeners, you could go right now and get a free trial. Take advantage of this. This is totally free. Go to cbs.com/Star Trek. That's cbs.com/Star Trek. And let us know your thoughts about the show. I personally think it's freaking fantastic. So one more time, go to cbs.com/Star Trek.
LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring two, three, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of. I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Let's talk about the next game, man. Wolfenstein 2. Paris, you've been pumped about this game for months. Your thoughts now? Do you finally got to play it?
Well, because I know you've been playing it too, and I'll just say it here on the podcast that, see, what did I tell you? I've been telling you this for the past few months. This game, for what it is freaking amazing. It is quite easily just this Wolfenstein franchise best single player first person shooter franchise around right now, between the story, the shooting, just even graphically, you know, what we're seeing on the screen, the brutality of them. They hold nothing back when it comes to this world of Wolfenstein, and just, you know, the Nazis have taken over. We're in America now, and just nothing. They don't cut away to anything. If someone's getting decapitated, they're doing it on screen. You know what I mean? Just I shouldn't say I love this, but I love the honesty of the racism that you see in it, the sexism that's in it, the quote unquote fat shaming that is in it, the hatred towards Jews, gays. It doesn't matter. They're bringing all these things that unfortunately are relatable in today's society into this game. And they're putting it front and center, and you have no choice but to confront it and accept it. And what are you going to do about it? That's basically what this game is about. And oh, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. Now, I will say, and this is on a technical thing because I'm playing it on the PC. And again, thank you, Bethesda. They sent over review code for this. I've been playing on the PC version. PC version is a hot freaking mess right now, graphically. I had to jump through 20 hoops to be able to get it to not crash when it's in full screen and to be able to stream it and all that. I mean, you can go just Google Wolfenstein 2 PC issues and you'll see a ton of stuff right now. Bethesda's going to have to do some work to get that patch quickly. But once you get it working and you're playing a game, absolutely loving it. Again, the story is fantastic. I'm fully engrossed into it. I know I was streaming it yesterday and some people were watching it and you would see every other word. God damn. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know if I can be in on that. So I think I got to go because it does not hold your hand at all. The game, and I'm playing it not on the hardest difficulty, but the next to hardest, freaking brutal, man. I love it. I love that it's difficult. It's not just, hey, I'm just going to shoot everything and just run through the map. No, you got to use stealth. You got to slow your ass down a little bit. You know what I mean? Think about what you're going to do before you run into certain scenarios. So, yeah, loving Wolfenstein 2. It's a fantastic game.
I didn't get to play the first game. I only played I think there was like a digital version that came out after that. That's the one that I played. But I have to say this, man, the acting, the voice acting in this, yo, top notch. I personally think a little bit better than Assassin's Creed, like when it comes to like the acting and stuff and the movements of the character and everything. It feels like I'm watching a movie the whole time. It is so freaking good, man. And there was some moments that I was like, yo, I can't believe they're taking it this far, man. Holy crap. Oh my God. And I was hitting up Paris, but I was afraid to like mention any spoilers. But I'm like, oh my God, Paris, you got to play this, man. Oh my God. Too much. Insane. But it's dope. Must have, man, in my opinion. I think the game, it's going to sell, I think. Just because of the controversy. Like, they even had a report on Vice about the game.
I have the game for review, but I have not touched it This is probably a good segue towards that. And the reasons I haven't been playing it is because I have a Nintendo Switch and I've been playing Mario Odyssey for the last 18 hours.
18 hours?
Well, come on. I've had the box for 18 hours, so I wouldn't say I've been playing for 18 hours straight. Okay. I have been playing it. You know, I've let the kids play it, obviously, you know, so they have their own profiles now on the Switch. But, I mean, we've been playing Super Mario Odyssey. Everybody's been playing. Actually, my son just hit me up on text. He's like, where is the Switch? And I'm like, sorry, it's over here because we need to talk about that on the show.
Yeah,
definitely. But yeah, I picked it up. I know you had your own issues with Amazon's delivery, but I mean, I ordered mine on Thursday and mine arrived yesterday, and it wasn't supposed to show up until Tuesday, according to my first tracking message. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know where the disconnect was. I don't know if maybe they had more bundles versus actual, you know, game. I don't know. It got shipped to Miami and then came up the next day and, you know, it was delivered, you know, with.
Well, that's Amazon. Amazon always under promises and tries to over deliver on stuff like that. Right. So they'll say, oh, you're not going to get it till Wednesday. And then you look the next day, it's at your doorstep.
Right. Yeah. So
the thing that really I was super mad about this. Like, I understand there was three games out already and everything. Like, I wasn't mad about that. You know, like, they said, you're getting it on Friday. I was like, oh man, I had a lot of things planned for it. You know what I'm saying? I even was playing a lot of Assassin's Creed because I wanted to take my time with Mario Odyssey and everything, you know? So, and I even stayed home thinking that the package was going to come. I see the updates. Amazon saying, yeah, Friday at this time. And it never got here. It got here the next day, like nothing. They dropped it off and they left. You know, it's like, come on, man. That's not cool, man. And there it's different with games, man. I had to like stay away from the internet, you know, because of the whole spoilers and everything. It's just different, man. I just don't like that. If they would have said Saturday, I'd be like, all right, cool. It's coming Saturday. But don't lie saying they're going to be in one day and never shows up. I think that's not cool.
I don't know. I mean, it also depends on delivery, weather patterns, traffic, emergencies, et cetera. Sometimes that all plays a factor. Again, each case is different. I don't know what the issue was for you. You had ordered yours way more in advance than I had. I mean, I saw mine and on a whim, Paris guilted me into buying it. So
you're welcome, by the way.
Welcome. Thank you very much, sir. It's funny. Uh-huh. When I opened it, and I put that video up on social media of me opening the box and my daughter was opening it. And as I was opening it, I wasn't even looking at the box because obviously I knew what was in it. I was looking to my right and watching my daughter's face as she was holding the phone while she was recording it. And like, I don't think you hear the gasp, but as soon as I opened the box and we see the Super Mario Odyssey logo on the box, jaw drops to the ground. She's like, and then, you know, she's like, oh my God, I want to play. And then I walk over to my son's room and I pop open the door and I show him the box, just a corner of it. And he's like, oh my God, we got a Switch. And then I walk over to the bedroom and I show the wife and she's like, and I'm like, oh, I didn't show her a PowerPoint deck. I didn't do nothing. But, you know, she's like, you know what? I go out and I've bought things in the past without asking. So it's fine. So, you know, thankfully, you know, shout out to the wife, you know, I didn't have to do no splaining, but she was she didn't show any excitement initially. But she was anxious to set up a profile on there. And so, you know, I played it, you know, I let my daughter play, my son popped out, you know, and he played it. And I was talking to my wife. I was like, you haven't really asked to play it. You know, she's like, don't worry about it. I'll get my time. So, you know, she does have some excitement build up within her. So she is looking forward to playing it. I guess we could just roll right into the Super Mario Odyssey. Yo, right now, game of the year. I know I said a couple of months ago, PUBG right now for me personally was, you know, up until yesterday was game of the year just for me, you know, because, you know, that's, you know, it's a subjective, you know, comment. But right now, just watching that 3D to 2D transition, hitting that, I can't say this without having a smile on my face, because that's what I was like all day yesterday, whether it was me playing it or I was sitting on the couch watching the kids play it. there was just that ridiculous ear-to-ear, happy environmental grin that was just like, yeah, man, this is like, it reminded me of my childhood playing on the NES with Super Mario Brothers and all the other Mario iterations as I grew up. This, yo, I'm on the bandwagon. Here's the late pass. There you go.
Yeah, let me say this about Super Mario Odyssey. Couple things. Firstly, I've not had the chance to play it anywhere as near as I want to. Literally, the only times I've played it is when I've been on stream. You want to know why? Because my kids, anytime the Switch is laying around, they take it and they've been playing it. Like Trey, I think, is almost at Bowser. That's how much he's been playing this game over the past couple of days, which right there is the indication of how great this game is. I mean, they've not been super big into the Mario stuff, but this one instantly grabbed him, you know, picking it up from the first time. To me, Mario Odyssey is a love letter to Mario over the past 30 years, because you literally have Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Sunshine, Mario 64, Galaxy, all wrapped into one game. That's what this is to me. And just the level of detail that they've gone into with some of the level design, just the tricks, all the things that when you're going through the level that you may not necessarily be able to do right away, but you look at it and you go, I'm going to figure this out eventually. I'm coming back to this. You know what I mean? There's so many little things. There's always, you always want to peek around the corner because there's always going to be something else around the bend that you can find and discover. And that's what's so great about gameplay wise. I mean, everything is just damn near perfection with this game. You know, just the jumping puzzles, just, you, like I said, you see something off in the distance and you know you want to get to it, but then you have to figure out, how am I going to do it? That's what I love about this. And the fact that anyone can pick this up and play it and enjoy it. Like I said, I can enjoy it. My kids can enjoy it. My wife can enjoy it. Obviously, you see Pete just grin on his face the whole time. And that's what I'm saying. When I've been streaming it the past couple of days, I've been smiling the entire time. And that's the whole point of Mario Odyssey. It is just fun. And at the end of the day, that's what gaming is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be fun. And I'm absolutely enjoying myself. Like, look. Right now. Like, I literally have the Switch right now. I ought to keep the son of a gun in my hand the rest of the day, because if I put it down, then the kids are going to wake up and take it and I'm not going to get a chance to play it. You know, and that's Mario Odyssey for me. And that's why Mario Odyssey is probably, and I know this will be, nah, it shouldn't be controversial, but I know people have differing opinions, it's probably going to wind up being the game of the year, because everyone can enjoy this game, not just a certain segment of the gaming audience.
And this is a perfect example why I've been saying this for a very long time, that power and graphics and all that doesn't mean jack to me. This is a perfect example. Look at this game compared to all these other games. It has 4K and online features. It has multiplayer. This is a single player game that, like you said, P in Paris, anybody, any age, doesn't matter, you from young to old, could play this and could have fun. I love it, man. I love this. And I think this has been one of the greatest years from Nintendo ever, I think. Because they've been just dropping gems left to right. And this was like their biggest one so far in 2017. The biggest one.
Agreed. The one thing that I took while I was streaming and then just talking about on Twitter, the response that you would get every time is people that don't own a Switch saying, I want to go get a Switch. I think I want to go buy a Switch now. You know, that was the main thing I took from this. And look, I had my little quote unquote confessional on stream a couple of days ago, and I know people clipped it and it was on Twitter. And I'll say it again for the record on the podcast. I was so wrong about the Nintendo Switch. What 2017 has taught me is the Nintendo Switch is the best console you can buy today for $300. You know, if you can afford it. But you got Zelda, you got Mario Rabbids, you got Splatoon, you got Odyssey, you got all these indie games that are coming to it. The fact that you can take this thing anywhere you want to go, anywhere, and you can play game of the year quality titles, says so much about what the Nintendo Switch is. And like you said, Danny, it's not about power. It's not about graphic fidelity. It's none of that stuff. It's they literally put these quality titles in your hand. Take it wherever you want to go. If you want to just prop it up, like my son, the way he's been playing it, he takes the Pro Controller, he takes a Switch, he props it up in the kitchen, and he just plays it that way. That's how he's been playing it. Or then when he gets annoyed, he'll go upstairs and play it that way. But that's the point. You're not attached to a television to have to play Mario Odyssey, probably the best game that has come out this year. You know what I mean? And that's just the simplicity and yet the complexity of the Nintendo Switch all wrapped into one, that it allows you to be very diverse with whatever you want to do with it. And it's an amazing product. And I was wrong. I was so wrong about the Switch. I was very skeptical of it when it came out. But I would say to anyone right now, if you can afford it, if it is in your budget, don't wait. Go pick up a Nintendo Switch. And even Reggie said it himself, they can't make enough of these things. Now, they wish they could make more of them, because it's going to sell out throughout the holidays. Everyone's going to go want to go pick up a Switch because they're doing that great of a job.
And all I've been doing to Mario is just trying to collect these moons, man. It reminds me of like Crackdown where the orbs. And it's like, it's very, very, very addicting, man, to find these moons and all these places. Like, there's places that you will think, oh, there's nothing there. But it's there. There's something probably hidden there, like a moon and stuff. Mm-hmm. Every single time, man. I just love it. I love this game so much, man. The music. You could even leave, like, don't control Mario. Just leave him there standing for a little bit. He falls asleep, and he's, like, dreaming about pasta or food or something like that. There's so much like Easter eggs in this game. Mm-hmm. A lot, man. From like games from the past, the soundtrack reminds me of like previous Mario games. The levels is like the what's the name of the city where Donkey
New
Kong?
New Donk City.
That's dope. That level. I love the sand level too. I think Pete was like hitting us up. Oh my god, dude! This sand level. Oh my god, there's so much things to do here, man.
Well, it's
so
not cool, the man. Things to do, it's the transition from 2D to 3D, the seamlessness of how it just goes 2D, 3D, and then when you're in the 2D world, the music changes to the retro audio. You know, it's like the older, you know, the iconic Mario sounds, the music, etc. And then as soon as you pop in that 3D world, boom, or actually it switches over to different, it's just the gameplay. And then like there is one, without giving too much, it's just the way the controls move, like you're like in standard, and then like you, depending on the color, it changes, and you're on the wall, the gravity, it's insane. And like I was saying, like I was playing it while we were getting set up for the show this morning. Like I woke up and I was just like, where's my Switch? You know, we're recording, my son got up, he's like, Dad, where's the Switch? You know, it's like, it's one of those things like, okay, that's when you know that something has hooked you, when in less than 18 hours, I went to bed playing the Switch, woke up, and my first thought was grabbing the Switch. And so, you know, I'm hyped. And one of the things I love also, because I know Paris was talking about, oh, you know, I could have gotten it for a little bit less. Yes, on Amazon, I probably could have saved a couple of dollars. But I've got the Mario Red control Joy-Cons as opposed to either the gray or the neon blue and red. So I like this color way better. I'm digging it, dude. I hate you, Dan. Not you. He's talking to a common friend of ours on the Twitters.
Oh, I'm like, I haven't even said anything.
No. Our good friend Dan, he went to Toys R Us Friday to get something else and walked out with the Super Nintendo Mini and the Mario Edition Switch, and then rubbed it in my face because red Joy-Cons. He's like, but you ain't got red.
Well, even funnier is that he walked in to buy a doll for his daughter.
Yeah.
And saw the line for the Nintendo the Super NES Classic, and then bought the Classic, and then asked about the Super Mario Odyssey bundle, bought that, walked out to the car, and then realized he never bought the doll for his daughter.
But that's kind of, and I want to say this real quick before I forget, because I'd said on Twitter yesterday, it's almost criminal that you had Super Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed, and Wolfenstein all drop on the same day, because all three are legitimate Game of the Year contenders, right? They're all fantastic. And it's a great problem to have, obviously, but at the same time, you know, it's like, how do you, like I had said on Twitter, I was like, I'm shooketh because I don't know what to play first or what do I play, you know, because it's like I got all these great games. And I understand most people, I shouldn't say most people, but a lot of people can't afford to get all three at the same time, or they can't afford to get a Nintendo Switch, or you have to be picky. Like, you know, look, back in the 80s, back in the day, you would get one game like damn near for the year and you would just play the hell out of that game. So I get it. But if you can only afford one game, which one do you get? You know, it's almost that problem. And, you know, it's, you can't go wrong. But then at the same time, in the back of your head, like, well, should I have gotten Mario, or should I have gotten Assassin's Creed, or Wolfenstein, or Destiny 2 PC, or, you know, South Park, or Shadow of War, or Horizon Zero Dawn, or Zelda? It's like, let's start naming all these games for 2017. And, you know, we still got Call of Duty coming next week. We got Battlefront 2, Star Wars coming after that. There's like, there's so many quality titles that are coming out right now that I almost wish they were spaced out a little more, because it's going to be tough, man. It's a good problem to have, like I said, as a gamer. But, man, just trying to find the time to play all these quality games is going to be crazy.
One thing I forgot to mention about Wolfenstein, when you start the game at the beginning, like the menu, there's like a countdown there that I think it ends November 7th, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what time.
Yeah.
But I was like, what is that? And then I did some research. They're saying that it's, I think, a DLC or something coming out, like a new game or something's coming out for it. So I don't know if you noticed that, Paris.
No, I did. Yeah, you're right. Right. Yeah, the vault. And then, yeah, it counts down to November 7th. And, hey, we'll find out. Which is good. Because, look, let's go back to Wolfenstein 2 really quick. What have I been saying for the past 6 months? I've been like, it's going to be a great game. But it's single player only. I'm worried it gets lost in the shuffle and isn't the financial success that Bethesda wants it to be. That's been my main concern. And it still is, because look, man, Mario Odyssey has taken all the headlines this week because it's getting nines and tens across the board. It, like I said, it's a love letter to the Mario franchise. It is showing the power of the Nintendo Switch. Nintendo has dominated the headlines this week because of that, right? Wolfenstein. Oh yeah, Wolfenstein 2 coming out, by the way. And then, you know, it kind of gets buried down, because then you look at Assassin's Creed Origins. Everyone's going gaga over that as well. And look, Wolfenstein 2 ain't for everybody. It is a brutal game. It touches on subjects that are very controversial. Hell, you're killing Nazis, all right? So not everyone's going to be into that. And I worry that it's not going to have the sales that people expect. Not to mention, like I said, PC version is a hot mess. So when you do Google Wolfenstein 2, that's one of the first things that comes up, that PC is having issues. You know what I mean? So if I'm a consumer, I'll wait. Because it's just single player. There's no urgency to play it right now. I'll go play Mario or Assassin's Creed or Call of Duty or something right now and pick up Wolfenstein later. And that's what I think is going to eventually hurt that game. Hope I'm wrong. Really hope I'm wrong. But I don't see it being anywhere near the sales leader that Assassin's Creed or even Mario is going to be this holiday.
Now, very quick, let's talk about Black Friday, because I think it's going to be very interesting, because there's been rumors of like prices of Xbox One S that's coming out. Maybe some PlayStation 4 is going to be very cheap and everything. But I have a feeling that Nintendo's not going to lower the price. They're just going to keep it the same price. zero reason. And they have Mario. That's all they need.
Yep.
And it's going to sell. And it's going to sell more than all these consoles, even though those consoles are going to be cheaper than the Switch. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. You're
spot on, because it's like you're saying, like Reggie came out and said, you know, during the launch event for Mario, they can't make enough to meet demand at this point. You know, they're trying to completely change their logistics on the back end so they can get more Switches in people's hands. So that tells me no reason to lower the price, because people are going to be more than willing to spend the $299 to pick one up. Or like I said, that Mario Odyssey bundle for $379 won't stay on a store shelf all holiday. You know, they can't make enough of them. So like I said, they'll look back and kick themselves when they get their financial report saying, hey, we made X amount of money, but man, if we could have made more switches, we'd have made even more. You know what I mean? So no, but going on your Black Friday thing, like I said, I was looking at the Kohl's ad leaked. They're going to have an Xbox One S for $189. And then they're going to have a PlayStation 4 1 terabyte version for $200. You know, and then, you know, I know Sam's Club and some other people are doing a ton of bundle deals as well. But yeah, that I actually think the console that'll probably sell the most, because they'll have them out there, is going to be the Xbox One S, because you'll be able to get it for under $200. Why not? It's a great freaking deal. So I think they're actually going to have a huge holiday this year from that standpoint.
Your thoughts, Pete?
It's common knowledge that, you know, that's the best time to buy things on the internet, right? Black Friday. I think that price is ridiculous. Anytime that you can get something as powerful as an Xbox One S, obviously I'm going to emphasize on the S. I don't want to set across a mistake or anything. For $150 to $180, even a PlayStation 4 for that price, it's a gold. It's gold. You can't say no to that. I mean, yeah, people can argue specs and 4K versus 1080, whatever. That's still a phenomenal deal. And anytime that you can get a really good console, regardless of your preference, and a game for $250 or less, how do you go wrong? How is that a bad thing? At that point, it's just choice of what game or what platform you want to play. And obviously, I threw 3+ at this, but just seeing the joy and knowing the fun that I've had, I'm having, and I'm going to have in the near future, it was worth it, honestly. So.
Tomorrow night, we're going to have a special episode. And the reason is because we invited Albert Pinello from Microsoft. He's going to be here to talk about Xbox One X. A lot of X's. Straight for Paris. So tune in tomorrow, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow night, we're going to be live recording this interview. And it will come out on the podcast the next day. So it'll be Tuesday morning or something like that. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to talk to Albert. We have a lot of things to talk about, man. So just want to say that very quick. And that's it. Anything else from you guys?
I'll say this just on the topic of Xbox One X. You know, obviously a lot of people have been receiving them here in the past few days and doing unboxings. And I guess at a later date, they can talk more in depth about it. I'm sure there's some embargo or something going on. But even though I'm not getting one, I'm excited for this. Like, so much so. And Danny can confirm this. I've legitimately been trying to justify, should I get one? I'm like, man, should I get one? I can put it in the living room. I can do this. And then ultimately, I always back off and say, nah, I just don't need one. I mean, but this is very important for the gaming industry to have this console come out, to legitimately, which Digital Foundry has been confirming over the last few weeks, you know, as games and stuff have been coming in, this thing is a powerhouse. This thing will be pushing us into the 4K era for console gaming, way more so than what the PS4 Pro is currently doing. I'm excited to see what Assassin's Creed Origins is going to look like on it. I'm excited, you know, Forza 7 and just all these other games that'll be coming out for it, you know, on November 7th, you know, Gears of War 4 being a game that came out last year. I'm very curious to see how that patch is going to work on it as well. Witcher 3, you know, etc. So I'm excited for it. I mean, Danny, I know you've pre-ordered one, so you'll be getting one on November 7th. So I'm excited that when you get one, you'll be able to talk about it and we'll get some real world, you know, opinions on Xbox One S to see what it is. And, you know, it looks like right now everyone that's getting one should be excited for it. And like I said, I'm very curious to see what the games are going to look like on it and how they run compared to what they currently are on PC.
Yeah, there you could tell that Microsoft is really confident about this product, man. They've been sending so many like review kits to a lot of like press influencers, you know, like YouTube, Twitter, Everybody's getting this, man. And I'm wonder how much money have they spent on this, man? Because this is a very expensive product, man. It's not cheap, man. It's not cheap. And everybody been unboxing this all over the place. And it looks a really cool kit, man, I think. So it's crazy. Crazy. Plus, they're sending out also the Taco Bell winners. They're sending also a bunch of those consoles to for those people out there, man. Arctic, one of our mods, he's getting one. He got it from there too, man, you know? So, wow, that's a lot of money for Microsoft, man. But they're confident. You could tell that they're confident, man.
At the end of the day, this is the marketing part of Microsoft. They've consistently always had a large budget for, and you need to be able to get your product out in the public's eye, whether it's in the form of contest prizes or, you know, marketing or review units. You want to make sure that you get your product out there in advance of the holiday season so that it's on the front of the mind lobe, you know, saying, okay, hey, we got the Xbox One X, you know, that's what kids are going to want to see. They're seeing on the Doritos packages, they're seeing it at Taco Bell, they're seeing it on Mountain Dew, et cetera. It's going to be literally in front of almost everything you see, whether it's, you know, we saw the commercials on the NFL last week, right? So you're going to see the media blitz, you know, that train is in full, you know, it's full chug at this point. So it's going to be a nonstop media blitz from Microsoft to make sure that they sell. Question now is going to be, how close do they get to the Switch, you know, for total sales at the end of the year? You know, I think Sony's going to sell its fair share, but I think because it's the new hotness, I think that's going to help contribute to the sales numbers that you see, whether it be from Nintendo or you see from Xbox One X. And I'm glad that you finally get to join the 4K revolution.
Yeah, very honestly, I'm excited just to test it out. Like I said earlier, playing Assassin's Creed Origins, you know, 4K now for a couple months at these events that we were there at, and now playing on a regular console, I could tell the difference, man. So now I'm very excited to actually play this at home, 4K, everything, and I'm even more curious to try out games like Gears of War, The Witcher 3, Forza, what else? Star Wars, right? I even want to try out NBA 2K. I have it. I want to try that in 4K to see how it looks. There's a lot of games I want to try out, man. And also, Shadow of War, I talked about that. I was not impressed at the event. Maybe it was because of the TV now in 4K at home. Let's see. I hope it looks even better. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm still of the opinion that what we saw wasn't the full package. I want to say that what we saw was an alpha or beta build that didn't have 100% of the assets, because if they're touting that as a 4K beast, like we shouldn't have seen the dark pixelization on that one set, on that one scene that we saw. That shouldn't have been there. Right, it should have been a pure black screen in the background, but who knows? We could be wrong. You know, this could be something. You know, we can't really speak factually because we don't know. So hopefully, now that you'll be joining the 4K revolution here on your Xbox One X and a 4K TV, you'll be able to see it. So hopefully it was just a goof, but time will tell. Definitely.
All right, so let's wrap it up here. The recoining of GTR. Head over to GamertagRoyal.com. You can listen to our past episodes and everything like that. And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Shout out to everybody that have been listening to us and sharing our content out there, man. So we appreciate that big time, man. And it's going to help us, man. So shout out to everyone. And also, February 9th, we're going to have that live Gamertag Radio show. Hope you could join us. It's going to be totally free to attend. And hit us up for more information or go to GamertagRadio.com or podfest.us. All right, until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.